Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Showing Up to Your Life podcast and YouTube channel. My name is Art Burns, here on a Saturday morning, and very happy to be here with you today. Notice I didn't say the word excited today. I think I will get excited as I'm talking, but truth be told, it's been a little bit of a rough morning, you know, and I feel like I just want to be honest with you about that, you know. I'm going to do a whole episode on this in a few days. It's in the black book here in a few days, but as you all know, I am currently working to heal from my trauma, right? Some unresolved trauma that I have from my childhood. I've been very open about that and very honest about that. And so, you know, one of the things that I have found in this journey, right? And this is, we're going to cover this in a few days, as I said, but so I'm just going to touch on it real quick. But, you know, as we, you know, if me being traumatized, right, throughout my life, and again, it started when I was very young, so like 5-6 years old. So basically my entire life, right, I have been dealing with the effects of trauma. And so one thing that has made me understand now is that, you know, I have attracted other people in my life who also are struggling with trauma. You know, my wife and I did our ACE test together. You know, most families play Scrabble. We do our adverse childhood experience test. And, you know, I had like a 6 and she had like an 8, you know, so like we're both pretty, beaten up from the trauma, you know. And so the only reason I tell you this is because, and maybe this is true for you, you know, in your life, you know, we can trigger each other's trauma response, right? And when we do that, that's when, sorry, my shirt's doing something weird here. It's distracting. when we trigger each other's trauma response, right? Oftentimes that feels like, you know, a fight just came out of nowhere, you know, and I wouldn't even call it a fight, but like there's an exchange that was unpleasant kind of thing, and it feels like it came out of nowhere. And that's one of the benefits, and this is what we're going to cover in a couple of days. This is the last thing I'm going to say. But, you know, what happens is as we develop mindfulness and that self-awareness that comes through the practices of mindfulness and compassion and self-compassion, right, what we can start to do is we can start to, you know, recognize the aspects of our trauma response to say, oh, wait a second. You know, it's almost like we can ask ourselves, like, well, why am I so upset right now? This doesn't seem like that big a deal. Why is it, you know, my response feels more, you know, severe than the thing that's happening? That is a great sign of stress, of you know, your trauma, right? I gotta write that one down. I'll just come back and watch it. so that's something really to kind of, you know, again, if you are struggling with, you know, unresolved trauma in your life, you know, then that's a very clear sign, right, that you've been triggered in your trauma, right, is when you find yourself becoming very upset about so or overly upset, more dramatic, more severely upset than what the thing seems to call for. That's always a great, a very, you know, clear sign that, you know, that you may have been triggered in your trauma, right? And if that is the case, then the best thing you can do then is to not, you know, stop, just stop doing whatever you're doing, right? Because the problem is that you're reacting in a way that you feel is appropriate, right? Because your anger, you know, kind of messes with your filtration system. And so you think that what you're saying is appropriate, but it's not, right? It's an inappropriate response to a situation, right? So the best thing you can do is just stop and wait until you cool off and then try to think it through. All right. But again, we're going to cover that in a couple of days. And I'm really excited to do that because it's important stuff. Right. And but today in the little black book, I want to talk to you, but I want to go back to some basics a little bit. Right. I hear all the time as I, you know, teach people how to practice mindfulness and how to meditate and how to, you know, practice compassion exercises and everything. I hear all the time that, you know, well, I feel like, you know, my mind is racing so much, so I don't feel mindful, you know, or like I can't meditate because I just have too many thoughts. It's just too busy in my mind, right? It's just not for me. Like, I just can't do it kind of thing, right? And so I want to talk about that for a few minutes here, because that's really, really an important thing to understand when it comes to, you know, understanding and learning the practices of mindfulness and compassion, right? As I say all the time here, there's so many positive benefits for with these practices, right? And so it's important to understand that you're not disqualified because you have a racing mind, right? Or a busy, you know, monkey mind where everything's jumping and you know, or a grasshopper mind, however you want to describe it, right? Anything that gives you the impression that it's jumping around and racing and just blindly going, right? You know, that doesn't mean that you're not mindful. Right. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, because this is really important to understand. OK, you know, our minds are going to race sometimes. Right. It's really outside of our control in a lot of ways. Right. I mean, sure, as you practice mindfulness and you become more, you know, adept and more skilled in your practices, which only comes through the repetition of practice over weeks and months and years and everything else, right? And so when you get to that point of sort of expert level, right, then maybe you are able to kind of, you know, sort of, you have a more, you know, predominantly sort of calm mind. I'll give you that, right? But even those people who are, you know, expert meditators, you know, Buddhist monks, right? I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I know for a fact that everyone I've ever met, right? And I certainly have met people who have been practicing meditation for 40 years, right? So like, those are the people I've talked to, right? And every single person I've ever talked to, including me, you know, says that that kind of never goes away, right? And it doesn't have to, right? Like, that's kind of the point, is that, you know, the idea is that the, you know, the mind, right, is, it has a mind of its own, right? You know, as we've talked about so many times here, right? So, like, you know, our current, you know, status of our mind is always going to be impacted by whatever it is that we're going through. Right. So, for instance, case in point this morning, right, when, you know, my wife said something or did something that triggered my trauma response. Right. And actually, I had just triggered hers before that. It's very convoluted, but this is how it works with two people who are, you know, dealing with unresolved trauma. Right. And again, this thing just seems to erupt from out of nowhere. And it goes from like 0 to 60 in like, you know, a second. Right. And so in the aftermath of that, right, I cannot expect that my mind is not going to be racing, right? Your mind is, my mind in this moment is trying to figure out what happened, trying to figure out, okay, what did I do wrong? What did my wife do wrong? What, you know, what happened here? What caused this whole thing? How can I, you know, resolve this? What do I need to do to deal with this? You know, it was it fair? Was it unfair? Was it, you know, am I right? Am I wrong? You know, all these thoughts, right? They're going to be barreling through my mind, right? And they're doing that because my nervous system was aroused, right? Like, I was in the fight or flight, you know, status or you know, mode of my nervous system, right? And so you know, so my body believes that something is going wrong right now, and for sure something was going wrong in that moment. So my body was responding in a very appropriate way to something that was happening, right? And it's okay that it's doing that. It doesn't make me not mindful for that moment. The difference is, in order to be mindful when your mind is just going and you just can't even stop it, right? To be mindful is to simply notice that your mind is racing that way. Okay, now this is a very important distinction. I know it seems maybe a little subtle, but it's very, very important. And it is pretty distinct too, or specific, right? you know, the idea is that, you know, whatever it is that our mind is doing, right, it's okay, right? There's no, like, it doesn't require, you know, being mindful or being compassionate or being anything, you know, does not require any specific kind of status of the mind, right? What mindfulness asks us, right, and what compassion asks us is to simply notice what is happening and do so in a non-judging and a kind way. Okay, those are the specifics. Those are the really important aspects of it, right? Like, if my mind is racing and I'm saying, oh my gosh, you are just the worst person ever because your mind is racing, okay, in that moment I am not practicing mindfulness. Okay, in that moment I am way caught up in the hysteria of my mind, and I'm gonna be at that point when I'm just stuck in it, like, I have no idea what my actions are going to be, right? I have very little control over my actions, very little control over the words I speak, right? Because again, I'm stuck in it, right? And until I notice what is going on, until I notice that I'm stuck in it, then, you know, again, I can't really trust anything that's going to come out of my mouth or anything that's going to, you know, any physical, you know, action that I might take, right? And so what this means then, right, is that as we just kind of, you know, well, let me put it this way. If I am mindful in this moment, which I was the entire time this morning, right, even when I was upset and even when I was like triggered and feeling like, oh man, this is, you know, like, wow, you know, I'm feeling my anger right now, right? Like, even in that moment when I was feeling it, okay, I notice that I'm feeling it, right? And I can hold it in sort of a, you know, when I say the word, like, when you get stuck in it, right? Like, when you're not noticing that you're angry and upset and your mind's racing and everything's going haywire in your body, right? If you're not noticing that, I said before, you're stuck in it, right? There's a beautiful quote, actually, in this book that happens to be right on my desk right now. The Magic of Awareness by Anam Thubten. If you want to see what he looks like, he's really such a... Does he look nice? Nice guy. Sorry, I'm really bad at this reverse thing. But anyway, one of the things that he says in this book is that when we can see the raging river, we are no longer in the raging river. Okay, that's a Buddhist metaphor, right? That's very important to understand, right? Because when I'm in that raging river, which means to be just swept up and caught up in the emotions and the mind racing and the you know, mayhem that's happening in my mind, right? If I am swept up in it, well, then I am, you know, just like being in a raging river, like, I'm going wherever the river's pushing me, right? Like, I have no control over it, right? All I'm going to do is try to find something to hang on to, like a log, and try and just hold my breath and hope that I make it out of the rapids, right? That's the only thing I can do at that point, right? Because I have no control, because I'm swept up in the raging river of my mind and my emotions and my, you know, physical, you know, tension that I'm feeling, right? And so the mind racing, the emotions and the physical sensations are not the problem, right? It's that I don't notice them, because as soon as I do notice them, what that allows me to do then is to, as I talk about here a lot, to disidentify with what's going on, including my own mind, right? Because you can, right? Your mind is not everything, right? You know, your mind is sort of, you know, I mean, there's lots of definitions of the mind. There's no, you know, singular accepted definition, universal, you know, that we know. And some of my teachers before have told me that if somebody does come up with a, you know, unified, you know, singular definition of the mind, they'll win the Nobel Prize, right? But nobody as of yet has done that. And so the mind, you know, in terms of what Dan Siegel would tell you, right? And this is who I kind of advocate and or subscribe to, you know, he calls it just, you know, and this speaks to what I've always thought of it, is as a process, right? It's a you know, the mind is a, well, I mean, he has a lot of different definitions, but basically it's a processing vehicle or instrument, if you will, right? It's a way in which we process what's going on. It's the way in which we process our consciousness, right? Or we process our experience through our consciousness. That's how I would put it, okay? And so that doesn't mean that, you know, it's unchangeable, or it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, it doesn't mean that I have to identify with it either, because again, my mind is going to be impacted just like my body is impacted, just like my emotions are impacted, just like my brain is impacted by an adverse experience, like an argument with my wife, right? Or being triggered, more specifically. It wasn't so much an argument as it was just we triggered each other, right? It was just we said two or three little words to each other, right? But that was enough, right, to trigger each other in our trauma response. And so from that moment, it's like, boom, you know, now we're, you know, and it, like, amazing how quickly it happens. But again, getting back to the point, when I notice it, right, when I feel, and it's just as easy as just sensing, like, oh, wow, you know, feel my body becoming tense right now, feel my the heat in my physical head here, you know, feel the I can feel the blood coursing through my veins, right? I can feel my mind going 100 miles an hour right now. I can you know, I can sense this emotional turmoil that's just erupting in me, like if they took like a heat sensor photograph of me, my body would just be flaming red and yellow, and like, right? And so noticing all that, right, as soon as I notice it, now I am at arm's length of it, right? Now I am no longer in the raging river. Now the important thing to know about that is that now I can make a decision that says, okay, Art, you know, you are in no condition right now to try to resolve this problem. You are in no condition to talk about it. You're in no condition to try to, again, work anything out, figure it out. You're just not in any condition for that, right? So now I have the ability to make the decision to say, just don't say anything, right? Let it process, feel it. You know, maybe you want to go journal a little bit. You know, maybe you want to meditate. Maybe you want to just take a walk. Maybe you want to have something to eat, whatever it is, right? But do not talk about this. Do not confront this situation right now, because, and this is not always the right answer, but this morning it was, because we're both so, you know, so triggered and hyper aroused, nothing positive is going to come out of a conversation right now, right? In all likelihood, we're just going to push ourselves further and further and further down that road of hostility and conflict and anger. And then along that road, things get said and bells get rung that can't get unrung, right? And so it's, you know, it's that, you know, the ability to harness that power, right, comes exclusively and specifically from my ability to notice my wandering, my racing mind. It's not wandering. It's not like, you know, just no. It's like, you know, like guys on motorcycles, like ninja bikes, you know. Like, that's how my mind felt this morning, right? Just as fast as it could possibly be going, right? And so again, the big takeaway here is, you know, again, a lot of times we might find, whether you've been triggered in your trauma response or not, you know, you might find yourself, you will find yourself at some points, no matter where you are in your practice, unless again you're like at, you know, more than 40 years, right? Which if you've been listening to this podcast, it's probably not the case. And so maybe it is, I don't know. But the point is though that as you're on this journey of learning mindfulness and practicing it and kind of developing the skills, right? It's really, really important to recognize that when your mind does wander, right, it's really, really important not to judge it, not to beat yourself up over it, not to think like, oh, I'm just not good at mindfulness, or oh gosh, I'm not. And the problem is, okay, is that this is what the people around you might say too. Okay. And so this is very, very important, okay, to understand, for you to understand, because you might come across times, Adam and I, in the Adam and Art Hour, we talked about this a while back, that, you know, like, you know, if, like, let's say my parents were in our house right now, right, and they saw this whole thing go on, you know, the way my parents were and are, you know, they would say something mean, and they would probably say something like, oh, you're really being mindful now, aren't you? You know, right? And you might hear that from people. And, you know, who knows where it's coming from and all that, you know. They just don't understand, right? They just don't understand. And so it's important for you to understand, right, that they're wrong, right? They are wrong. It does not mean that you're not mindful if you lose composure from time to time, okay? It does not mean that you are not mindful. All right. It's very, very important to understand that. It's very important not to come down on yourself, not to judge yourself, not to, you know, blame yourself, not to beat yourself up over it. Okay. This is very, very important, because the problem is that if you do that, right, if we beat ourselves up over it and say, oh gosh, I'm just not good at this mindful thing, right? Well, that's going to get in there, right? And you're going to start believing that. Right. And you're going to believe that, OK, mindfulness just doesn't work for me. And then you're going to walk away from it. And then, you know, this could have been the thing for you. Right. I mean, because it is the thing for so many people. Right. And the fact that these practices have been around for 2,500 years, right, indicates that it's not, you know, it's not a passing fad. You know, it's not something that's like, you know, oh, well, it didn't work, I'll just move on to the next thing, right? It's like, it's a process. It's a journey to develop these skills, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't take forever either, but it doesn't happen overnight. And even though, and here's the thing though, right? Even though you do gain some skills and some aspects of mindfulness, you're always going to have these little setbacks. I mean, I've been practicing nearly 10 years, right? And look at what just happened. But now here's the difference, right? 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, that would have turned into a full-blown fight. And that fight would have lasted for days. Maybe we could have gotten divorced over it. Who knows? Right? I mean, there were many times where fights just developed into throwing that D word back and forth. And, you know, who knows what might have happened in the past, right? But that didn't happen this time. Okay. But nothing else changed, right? The thing between my wife and I, that was nothing new, right? That's happened plenty of times before, right? And this place where I found myself was not unfamiliar at all, right? In fact, it was very familiar, right? And so the trigger was the same, the reaction was the same, right? The physical response of my body was the same, my mind racing was the same, my emotional triggering was the same. The only thing different was that I noticed it, and in that noticing it, I was able to step back from it, allow it to be, allow it to do its thing, right? I didn't try to change anything. I allowed it to just process itself. And, you know, I feel a lot better now, especially after talking to you. Thank you. But the point is, though, that because I noticed it, because I held it in non-judging awareness, and because I have developed the skill of kindness to myself, I was able to say, wow, Art, yeah, you're just in really bad place right now. You know, you're just hurting right now. So just brush your teeth, you know, wash your face off, you know, maybe have something to eat, maybe have a cup of tea, you know, I don't have caffeine right now. It's not a good idea. You know, if anything, do the really low level caffeine green tea that you have, which is what I did. You know, but really importantly, like, you know, when you see your son's, socks on the floor, don't say anything to him right now about it. Okay. Wait until later. You know, I was able to do all that only because of the mindfulness I practiced. So in fact, you know, my mindfulness was very instrumental in what happened today, but in a good way. But again, it does not preclude the eruption. It's just how you deal with the aftermath of that eruption that changes, right? So I hope this helps somebody out there. I hope that I know we went kind of on a circuitous route today, and you know it's not normal for us, but you know, hey, I'm in this state. You know, I'm living with it. I'm owning it. You know, we got to own it, right? Which owning, by the way, OWN is an acronym from my buddy Dan Siegel, which is observe, witness, and narrate. Okay. And so you can look at that as a practice of mindfulness, right? I'm observing it from out here, right? I'm looking at it, even though I'm in my body, of course, when I'm looking, I'm like taking a step back somehow in my mind. And I'm observing it. I'm not in it. I'm not a willing or unwilling participant. I'm an observer. And I'm witnessing it, right? I'm witnessing it happening as it's happening. And I'm standing here. I'm bearing witness to it. And now I'm narrating it. I'm narrating it, saying like, hey, Art, you know, you got triggered by that thing that happened that your wife said. And then, you know, she got triggered by this thing that you said just before that. And that's what's happening here. Right, so whatever you might be feeling right now, this is the story of what's happening, right? So observing, witnessing, narrating, that's basically mindfulness, right? And so that's the key, and that's all that matters, because as long as we can do that without becoming swept up in it, again, without going into that raging river, as long as we can stay out here observing, witnessing, narrating, well, then it's going to pass. It's going to pass. I mean, I feel much better now. I really do. And sure, this expending the energy of talking here definitely helped, right? Definitely helped. And the fact that I'm doing this from a place of compassion helped too, right? It's helping me to reintegrate my brain to establish, you know, my place of well-being, right? To widen my window of tolerance. And now I feel much better. Right? And so thank you. And you're welcome. But I hope this was helpful to you. If you have any questions, you know, you can get a hold of me, you know that. Again, yeah, I'm going to be talking about the whole trauma thing and you know what I mentioned earlier. Be talking about that in a day or two, okay? So maybe even tomorrow. We'll see. All right, everybody. Have a great day. I wish you well. Take care.